Welcome to the How to Raise Money podcast for anyone who wants to raise other people's money for a business or property venture. Right now, there has never been more money on the planet, and there has never been more opportunity. This podcast will help you put the two together. So, if you need money for your business or property proposals from banks, lenders, angels, whales, or dragons, this is the podcast for you.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the How to Raise Money podcast. I am Ray McLennan.
And it's with me, Nigel T. Best. Raymondo, how the devil are you?
How the devil are you? I should be asking you that. You ask me that every time. How the devil are you?
Well, I know the answer, because the answer is you're going to say we live in interesting times. I don't know. We go through it. I don't know why we do it, but hey. I think that's the cue for either people to stay listening or turn it off fast.
Yeah, or every day is a great day. Try missing one, my granddad used to say.
Yeah. Defo. Yeah.
All right, so today we're going to talk about how to raise money and raising money, and we're going to talk about 10 top tips for sharing information with investors. Now, it's 10 top tips. We will go through them, not in great detail, because there'll be an opportunity for you to get more of that detail later on, but just to give you a kind of snapshot. And if you're listening to this driving or anything, you don't need to get your pen out and write it down, because the top tips will be in the show notes accompanying each podcast episode. So without any further ado, let's go straight into it. So number one, now this is about the plan, what information do you give, what do you put down on paper, et cetera, et cetera. People who are investors, lenders, bankers, that sort of thing, have limited time. They're probably cash rich, time poor. That's why they want other people to invest their money from them. So they don't like trawling through great swathes of information. Now, having said that, some of them do and some of them don't. And I often get asked, well, how much information should you provide? Well, I suppose the short answer is keep it simple. Keep it to a one-page summary. Now, the way it should go is you get a one-page summary, which is a snapshot of whatever it is you're looking for. And there are certain headings that you must identify. And we'll show all that in a further training. But there are certain headings you must identify. And once you've done that, that gives people, an investor, a lender, enough information to want to go to the next level. So the snapshot is the key. The one-page document is the key. That's the grabber. That's what will grab their interest. And then you have to immediately have the rest of the information ready. So it's one-page summary. Then it would be an executive summary, and then business plan and all the backup and all the sources and all that stuff to follow on. But in order to create that one-page summary, you have to have all the information to hand. And again, in further training, we can show how the one-page summary should be structured and the best way to grab the attention. So that's number one.
Yeah, think of it like a movie trailer compared to watching the movie. You know, that's the grabber, isn't it, Ray?
That is it.
Okay, number two. A really simple one, but one that people often overlook, is keep everything organized. As we were doing the show notes for this podcast, I proved just how frustrating it is when some of the things that I'd laid out I've misplaced, and we had to do a different episode today because I didn't organize it properly. And there's nothing worse, is there? When you sit, right, Dragon's Den, Shark Tank, when people are flustered and they can't find the figures. Mm-hmm. Classic example. So keep it all in one place. Make sure the file names are obvious and you can locate them quickly. But again, we'll give you a structure to help you on that. Just an idea, a framework that could help on that. But that's number two, organize the information.
That's it. Number three is to allocate responsibility to one person to manage the information and all the requests that come from investors, because there will be frequently asked questions. That is a very good way of doing that. And again, we'll go into details on that in further training. But there are a couple of tricks and tips to allocating responsibility and to managing all the requests that come from investors. But number three would be allocate responsibility to one person to manage that information. Oh, You've gone. Volume has gone.
Yeah, I was on mute because I was trying to clear my throat.
All right.
Yeah. Oh God, are you sick of that on Zoom meetings? No, we can't hear you. We can't hear you. Oh, for goodness sake. 18 months in, I'm still doing it. Number four, decide whether to have an NDA, so a non-disclosure agreement. So a bit of exclusivity, a bit of commercial sensitivity around this, there may be. But you've also got to think to yourself, okay, under what circumstances am I going to use it? So you've got to think, what do I need, what level, and when would I use it?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are times to use it and there are other times definitely not to use it. But again, we can go into that in more detail later on. Okay, number five is to be as organized as you possibly can about arranging different meetings so you don't waste your own time. Now, we've had occasions where we've taken someone to London and he's had three meetings set up sort of one after another over the course of a day. Now, three would be enough. I wouldn't advocate any more than that. I had one time when a guy had organized six, and that's just too much. You cannot get, especially if they're in different locations. Now, ideally, you want to meet all the investors in one room if you possibly can, or you want to be able to arrange them all in one Zoom call if you possibly can. But it is important to be organized as possible about arranging time. And again, there are some do's and don'ts for that. We can go into much more detail later on, but that's number five. Be as organized as you possibly can.
Okay, number six, you've done an amazing sort of projection and all these figures and everything, and then they point out the fundamental flaws in some of your assumptions, and they're wanting a rewrite. Don't get offended about this. You know, what you need to do is make sure, and I've seen this before, if you've got spreadsheets, please make sure that you put formulas in. And that those formulas can be easily tweaked and changed. In my former life of being an accountant, boy, these were my bread and butter. And I tell you what, there's nothing worse than when somebody says, well, I think we should scale that down. And instead of 15%, let's do 12%. And let's up this from 73 to 92. And if you've got hand-typed spreadsheets, then you are absolutely nailed on to have errors in it. And one of the secrets to any sort of projections is being able to do them whereby you can tweak them quickly and efficiently, because not only does it save you a lot of time, but it also gives confidence in the investor that they know that you know how to put these things together. If you're hand typing them and counting on your fingers and things like that, it does make people a little bit nervous that you're not that good with numbers. So get confident with it. On that, and just, you know, get comfortable with the fact that you may well have to tweak the numbers, but that's no problem. That's no problem. So that's number six. Don't be surprised when investors ask you to change your financial projections.
Indeed. Okay. And a number seven is remember that you are a level playing field. You're equal to them. They need you as much as you need them. So it's not about you having to go with a begging bowl looking for money. There's lots of money out there. They are looking for deals. So it is one of mutual respect. So by that, I mean, don't be afraid to put across your point of view. Don't be afraid to push back if what they're saying or what they're offering is too much or not enough. Again, we'll go into more detail on that, but you want to be careful of... hardened investors who've done this a lot will push, and they want to see you push back. They want to make sure that you're going to stand your ground. And it's important that you do stand your ground for a whole variety of reasons. But make sure you've got all your own backup arguments ready when they do push back. But if they're making offers or anything, they need to be within the range that's acceptable to you. Remember, it's not about what you think. It's about what the deal will support. So, I suppose number seven would be your equals. Go in there with the vision that you're both equals. You're not subservient to them.
Yeah, good one. Next one. Don't get offended by this and don't get nervous unless you've got a past that you don't want people to find out or discover. But you are probably going to get looked over by part of the investor team. So they may well have advisors who will just cast an eye over you and your background, just to give them a slightly fuller picture. You may feel that's unnecessary, but from the investor's point of view, they just want to make sure. Certainly from my business side of things, when we do, you know, the background check where we look for a criminal past, we pose the question, we say, look, we're going to do this. Is there anything we should know now before we find it? You know, because if you're honest with us now up front, then, you know, that's fine. Then when we find it, it just ticks a box and confirms that someone has declared things up front. It always amazes us how many people say no, no, no. And then when it comes back, there is something. Age 16, they got caught shoplifting or something like that, or they got into a scuffle and they got something. And they said, well, I thought that had gone. Mm. We said, no, no, no. We find out everything about your past. And that's why we ask the question, is there anything that will appear? And they may well do the same. Not everyone, but some people will. So just get happy with it.
In the same way with the apprentice, you know how there's a stage at the apprentice where they go over the business plans and Lord Sugar brings in five of his trusted advisors to give him a grilling. That is probably my favourite part of that particular programme.
Absolutely. It's amazing how many people are not actually lords of the realm, finished first at Harvard, or also do have a small badge saying the world's greatest salesman, and all these things. I'm amazed. I'm absolutely amazed that people still put that in to the application, and then are shocked when somebody finds out that they never went to university and they never got a degree and all these things. I mean, what are these people thinking? It's just hilarious.
All right. Number 9 of 10. So we're almost there, of the 10 top tips for sharing information with investors. Number 9 is once the due diligence is complete. So once you've gone over that diligence, that's when the negotiations will really begin. That's when you're going to have an investor who's quite keen and wants to make an offer. And that is the time to get down to the hard negotiation. We could do a whole module on negotiating, but don't forget, they will start once the due diligence is complete. And that's when you go on to heads of terms, that sort of thing. Again, we can do a whole module on heads of terms. But number 9 of 10 top tips is when the diligence is done, the negotiations begin.
Okay, final one, number 10. This is about the time scale and what you can expect on here. Ray and I will normally sort of say, whenever you're doing something, it'll take twice as long and it'll be twice your budget. But in theory, depending on what it's for, if it's property, it should be within 30 days that this is concluded, because it should be relatively straightforward in terms of verifying the property, the deal, and the funding on that. But if it's to do with other investor investments, then have a look and I think 3 to 6 months for something like this. It all comes down to how efficient everybody is. And I know at the moment there are some inefficiencies as people still work from home and it can be a bit slower on things like that. But don't go into things like this saying, you know, I've got, here's all the stuff. Hey, you've got all the stuff. Why aren't you sending the money over? Hey, it's been 3.5 days. Come on, send the money. You've got to go in with the right sort of thing and expect it to be in the 3 to 6 months realm for the time scale.
Yeah, do not do what happened to us just in the last couple of weeks, where I had a phone call from someone saying we were looking to raise money. I think it was about £350,000. And we usually direct people to the online application form. And one of the questions in there, it says, when do you need this money for? And I said to the guy on the phone, I said, look, I need you to fill the application form. He went, oh, well, how long will that take? And I said, well, there's only 8 questions there, but it gives us the basic information. I said, why? What's the rush? The auction's tomorrow. I'm like, okay, in that case, I'm afraid we cannot help you. Oh, but I'm going to the auction tomorrow and there's this perfect property there. It's like, well, good luck with it. But, you know, we're not going to find an angel investor who's prepared to, you know, give you a credit note or line on for 300 grand tomorrow. It's just not going to happen. So,
Ray, I mean, that's a classic thing. If you are going to break every home under the hammer rule about auctions and not having your funding in place, if you go into the auction and do it and the hammer falls, be careful that you've looked at the legal pack, because some of them, it might be 28 days, but some can be 7 or 10, you know, incredibly fast. And the trouble is, when you are trying to raise money at pace, well, we all know what happens to the interest rate and the security and those sort of things, that it could be a much more expensive venture than you thought at the beginning. So just be careful with that, with your timescales, and try and get it sorted beforehand. Ray, a good selection there, a good set of top 10 tips there for sharing information with your investors or your JV partners. Yeah.
Well, let me just briefly summarize them, and then they will be in the notes. So for those of you listening, I'll just go over them again. So you want to write the business plan first and make sure you create the one-page summary. Number two is organize all your information. Number three is allocate responsibility to one person. Number four is, do you want to have an NDA? If you do, do you use it? Number five is, be organized as possible in arranging meetings, you know, and with the investors. If you're having individual meetings, make sure you've got plenty of time in between. Number six is, don't be surprised or offended when they ask you to rewrite a business plan, as Nigel was saying. Number seven is, deals are based on mutual respect. Remember, you're an equal level playing field. You are as much an asset to them as they are to you. Number eight is, investors have their own advisors and they will look over things. Don't be surprised when they do that. Number nine is, when you've completed your diligence, that's when the real negotiations start. And number 10 is, as Nigel said, it can take time. Properties, kind of 30 to 60 days. EIS, a bit longer, which is Enterprise Investment Scheme in startups, they can be a little bit longer. So don't be surprised, you know, that these things can take 6 months. I've seen some take up to a year. So it really, really does depend. So there we are. That's your 10 top tips for sharing information with investors. I have been Ray McLennan.
Yay. I'm still Nigel T. Best. Ray, everyone, we will see you again soon. Bye for now.
Thank you. And goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the How to Raise Money podcast. It's made for people who want to raise money as debt or investment equity for their business or property proposal or empire. See you next time, where we can show you how to raise money. There is abundance. There is money enough for everyone on the planet. The question is, who has yours?